My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Our buddy Andrew Siciliano, Browns Radio Network, coming up at 11:20. We're going to talk to Andrew about the upcoming Browns game against the New York Giants that has me petrified.
Why?
That's exactly right. Why?
Why are you petrified?
I have numerous reasons.
Well, I want to hear these.
First and foremost, do you know why? Because it's clearly a game the Browns should win.
Okay.
It's clearly a game where the Browns are the better team. And it has me petrified. The New York Giants, Andy, are one of just three teams, in the NFC without a win.
Okay.
They're 0-2. They lost to Minnesota 28-6. And then they lost a tough game to Washington. This is why I'm a little concerned. They lost this game to Washington 21-18. They did not allow a touchdown in that game.
Okay.
But they did allow 7 field goals by Austin Seibert. Again, living proof of why you don't draft a kicker. And the Browns did.
Okay.
21-18. So they're 0-2. But that game against Washington could have easily been a win. They've scored only 24 points.
What, 3 touchdowns?
That's the second fewest in the NFL to the Carolina Panthers, who are so enamored with what they're doing, they benched their number one overall pick for Andy Dalton.
They have 1 rushing touchdown and 2 passing touchdowns.
Anybody else concerned about the Giants? I'd love your thoughts. 216-474-0092. I don't even know if the Poobah is concerned about the New York Giants, the team he grew up rooting for, as they go against the Browns. Here is why I'm a little concerned, okay?
First of all, anybody else as concerned as Jeff? 216-474-0092.
Well, I'm just concerned because it's clearly a game the Browns should win.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Those concern me. I do think the Giants took some really nice steps last week. Daniel Jones is considered perhaps the worst quarterback in the National Football League by many.
Okay.
I don't know that I agree with that. He's a big guy who can run the ball as well, and he was improved last week against Washington. I thought he did a much nicer job. And whenever I look at a quarterback, I always look at this. What do his wide receivers look like? And if people are fired up about the wide receivers, I always think, well, why? Well, because somebody's got to throw him the ball. And that's why I think if you're going to dismiss Daniel Jones completely, I think you're in the wrong. And I say that last week he was okay. He was 16 of 28 and had 2 touchdowns. They have Malik Nabers, who is a really good-looking young wide receiver, first-round pick. They have Wandale Robinson, who's an intriguing young wide receiver. They have Darius Slayton. They have Jalin Hyatt. They have a pretty nice receiving group. Well, who's going to throw him the ball? Daniel Jones. And if you expect Malik Nabers to be a factor in the game, Well, then that means Daniel Jones is going to get him the ball. And I think Daniel Jones can do that. The first game against Minnesota, he had a bad game. Two interceptions. It wasn't good. He had 42 attempts and had only 186 yards. But he turned that around last week and had two touchdown passes against Washington. And I can't dismiss Daniel Jones as being a guy who might be able to get the ball to his playmakers, allowing the Giants to compete against the Browns. Jay's in Cleveland. Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, I just wanted to say this. I don't know if you guys know a YouTuber named Quincy Carrier. He's an upcoming Cleveland analyst. But he did a breakdown of Watson's game on a Sunday. And if you actually go watch it, a lot of those plays and a lot of those drops, there were actually really good throws. And he played actually very well if you really break it down. There was a lot of mistakes, a lot of flags.
You're talking Watson here?
Yes.
Yeah, he had some drops that would have affected him, without question.
What are your thoughts on Daniel Jones? Is that what you called?
Daniel Jones is trash. I'm sorry. Okay. Daniel Jones is trash.
Okay.
Not arguing with that, except for one thing. Their wide receivers are really highly thought of. Who's going to get them the ball?
You are not worried about the Giants, is that what you just said?
No, not at all.
I'm with you, Jay. I mean,
are we that confident about the Browns that you can't worry about a team?
No, I'm not in that camp, but that's the issue to me. Can you not at least have a level of expectation that the Browns can be efficient? Like, I think if the Browns are efficient, they win this game.
I would agree.
They need to be efficient.
You know? I think the Browns will win, and I think they should win. But I also think you're just not going to show up and beat the New York Giants, even though the Giants have not been good and aren't considered to be good. Devin Singletary has replaced Saquon Barkley. That doesn't sound like a good idea, right? Except for one thing. Devin Singletary had a really nice game. 16 carries, 95 yards against Washington. They can run the ball, and they have talent at that wide receiver spot. And I think if the Browns don't get to Daniel Jones, I think he'll be able to get the ball to his receivers. So I think pass rush is a big deal coming up on Sunday against the Giants. If you pressure Daniel Jones, if you make him uncomfortable, he's going to give you the football.
I think our line won't have any problem pressuring. The way this defensive line looks, as long as they're healthy. Like, I worry about Miles Foote a little bit because I know that became kind of a topic after the game, and he knows he's going to have to play with it. But I feel like we can pressure the ball. They're coming up with at least four sacks a game through the first couple games, and so I don't question that. And I think the Browns need a game like this week to go out there, be effective, do their jobs, and take home a victory and look forward. I'm normally not like this in most games, but this week feels that way. The only hindrance I have is I go back to last week, and I was reading a bunch of stuff coming out of Jacksonville, and I was looking at what are Jacksonville writers saying about their game against the Browns, and they all thought Jacksonville was in a situation where, all we need to do is this, and we're going to get the win against the Browns.
Right, which is what I think a lot of Browns fans will think about the Giants.
I agree.
And that's why that game scares me a little bit.
Yeah, and the only other part that scares me is that sometimes in the NFL when you get a game like this, those are the ones that end up going sideways. And you're like, how did we lose to the Giants? You'll be sitting here at the end of the season and be like, how did that happen?
Right. And that's, Andy, that's my thought here. I don't mean to be Chicken Little, the sky's falling. But that's why I have some concern. I do think this. The Browns scored one touchdown last week against Jacksonville. It was on the opening drive. They were outstanding.
Right.
If the offense is going to get back on track and needs a game to get back on track, this is it. So far, the Giants haven't been, I don't think, very effective on defense. Now, they didn't allow a touchdown to Washington, but they allowed them to get into field goal range seven times. Okay, so the Commanders were able to move the ball, and they put up 21 points on field goals. 26th in the National Football League in yards per game allowed. The Giants defense, 368 yards per game. Worse, 28th against the rush. And that's not good. They're allowing 163 yards per game on the ground. So I would think Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman are in line for a pretty good game all the way around. Washington had 215 yards rushing. Robinson had a big game, Brian Robinson. 215 yards rushing by the Commanders against the Giants. I would think the Browns have to pound the football, thus taking heat off of Deshaun Watson, thus hopefully allowing the Giants to focus on the D, then allowing Deshaun to throw the ball downfield because they're focusing on the D.
I just think this has to be cleanup week for the Browns. And when I'm saying cleanup, I'm talking about they've got to minimize the mental mistakes before the snap. And we're 2 weeks in on this. Enough. 100 yards and penalties is too much.
Most penalized team in the NFL.
You know, 13 penalties or what, 24 penalties over 2 weeks. That's got to stop. And then somehow, some way, the connection between Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson's got to clean itself up too. That's it. I think if they clean those two things up, that is efficient football for the Browns, and that is a victory. Should be a victory this week against the Giants. Again, I'm not going to take anything. We've watched this. We've been that team for so long that teams are like, oh, this is a bye week. There's no such thing as a bye week for the Browns ever. We've lived this lifetime like 1,000 times since 1999, since they came back. And I just, if they can just clean up those two things, I think they're going to be fine. It's inexcusable, the pre-snap penalties. It's 100 yards in penalties is ridiculous.
Just think, the Browns haven't shown us yet. You know, the Dallas game was terrible, right? They didn't play very well. And they put up one touchdown against Jacksonville. That's why I don't think we can just look at this game and think, well, they're going to win this game. I think they will. I think they should. I think they're a better team, without question. And I think Brian Daboll could be out of work. You know, if they come to Cleveland and lay an egg, he could be out of work after this game. But you have a defense that's given up a lot of yards, not ours, theirs. Your offense better get on track. And I wouldn't mind seeing 30 rushing attempts. Let's see a bunch by your running backs. Pound that football. And then turn Deshaun into a really efficient passer. Hopefully he's not put in a position where he has to win the game for the team. And then get to Daniel Jones, because you know he's going to get the ball to Malik Nabers. And if he does, Nabers is probably going to be pretty good.
I wonder what the crowd's going to be like this week. I'm not trying to turn the page away from the actual football itself, but I'm just saying, the crowd was frustrated last game. The Browns need to give this crowd something to cheer about and want to be excited. They were so pumped when they walked in against Dallas, and then by the time those folks walked out, it was like, here we go again, and it's so negative. And rightfully so, they played horrible against Dallas. And then, I'm just mind-boggling what happens to the Cowboys the next week against New Orleans. Now, New Orleans put, 90 points on the board in 2 weeks, so maybe Dallas is or isn't what we thought
maybe
they were.
Maybe the Saints are the real deal.
Maybe, but when you look at most things, they're kind of like, statistically, they're like 8-9, somewhere in there, and you would think that they'd be higher, especially when you're looking at rankings and power rankings. A lot of I've read a couple of those where they're just kind of, they're just on the outside of 10, inside of 10 when it comes to New Orleans. And so I'm so perplexed on what the Browns are and what the Browns. I think I know what the Browns can be, but maybe this can be the week that they find their identity. And I part of that starts with Amari Cooper and Deshaun. They've got to get in rhythm. I still can't believe the plays that I've seen from Amari over the first two games this season, because that's not him. I know that's not him. I know it's not. So,
Andrew Siciliano, Browns Radio Network, Peacock, joining us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. Well, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He calls the Browns games for us on the Browns Radio Network. He's our buddy. He's been with us from day one. He's Andrew Siciliano. Baskin says Seinfeld not good in year one.
As they got away from him doing stand up, the show got better.
So I'm gonna say good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Andrew.
I'm gonna say that I don't remember the first season.
It's because it was so bad. Much. That's why
it wasn't bad.
It wasn't good.
It evolved.
I was in college. There was this kid on my floor, Dave Wright, who wouldn't shut up about the show, and we all started watching, and we all. Okay, I eventually liked it. I will say this, though. When Curb wrapped up its final season, do you guys watch Curb?
Oh,
Curb
huge
Enthusiasm?
Fan. Huge fan, yes.
Fantastic. Yep. So when Curb wrapped up, what I did, and there were all these callbacks in the final episode to the very first episode.
I know, right?
The entire episode is a callback to the first episode.
Right.
And so I went back and watched the first episode almost immediately. And the show was so much slower and more deliberate and was an entirely different show. They hadn't found their footing yet.
Right.
Almost like by the end of the show, they're going 100 miles an hour, two hands on, like, you know, woo, down the highway. But they were still very much in driver's ed on that first show and trying to figure out how to park between the cones in the parking lot, right, kind of thing. And I feel like the same goes for Veep, if you guys are big fans of Veep. At the
I've never seen it. I've heard it's great.
I started watching it. I couldn't get into it.
Oh, you both would love it. It's outstanding.
Oh, my God. It's the best. They go so fast, they don't have time to laugh at their own jokes. It is insult comedy at 100 miles an hour. But you go back and you watch the first episode, and it's very slow and very deliberate, and they hadn't found their footing. And I feel like the first Seinfeld episode, and actually season, was probably that way as well.
All right. I'm glad we got your assessment on that. I need your assessment on this.
Thank you, because Jeff's got to get us back to sports as fast as he can. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
It does say sports talk in the name of the station.
Do you have to?
Right there on the wall, it says sports radio, 92.3 The Fan.
This is what I deal with every day, Andrew. Every day.
Sorry. No, we got a great assessment from Andrew on television. That was fabulous. Now let's move along.
Wasn't bad.
All right, tell me why, first of all, the Browns should beat the New York Giants. They should take care of it. Defense should thrive against Daniel Jones. Offense should really thrive against a poor Giants defense after two games. Tell me why I'm concerned.
You should be concerned because they're 0-2, and they're coming to town, and the other team gets paid, and the other team needs a win and needs to win badly. I mean, like, it's a week-to-week league, guys. I mean, look at the Cowboys and the Saints. Cowboys pounded the Browns. Cowboys turn around, get pounded at home, mind you, by the Saints. So it truly is a week-to-week league, and all the Browns could have done last week is go to Jacksonville and get one. Well, they got one, and they got better. That's all that matters. Your headline is they won the game and they got better, especially offensively. So the goal this week, win the game and get better. I know that sounds like coach speak and so trite, but yeah, I mean, that is the goal. Now, on paper, Giants can't stop the run. That's huge. Love to see the Browns go heavy again with or without David Njoku and run the ball like they did a week ago and find that perfect balance between the heavy sets and the run and the empty sets. And look, the offense found its footing, especially in the first quarter on that 16-play drive. And I think on the second to last drive as well, when you needed it most, they found their footing. Go do that. Go run the football. And circle number one on your score sheet, because the Giants are going to throw the ball to Malik Nabers. They threw 27 passes last week. 18 of them went to Malik Nabers. Two out of every three passes out of Daniel Jones' right hand went to the sixth overall pick.
All right. I don't know that the Browns have their identity yet. We talked about this with Mary Kay a little bit. What do you think their identity is going to be, especially on offense, once they figure it out? Or do we have to wait till
question.
Or do we have to wait till Nick Chubb gets here?
Yeah,
if he can.
Only they know that answer. And the other thing, too, when Nick Chubb comes back, and I don't want to tamper expectations.
Right.
But there's a difference between return to play and return to performance.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, absolutely. I never thought about that, but that's a great point.
Running backs, and the same goes for Jack Conklin or Jed Wills, right? Especially Jack Conklin. I mean, that was a major injury. Return to play and return to performance. Anyone who tells you, anyone who's ever had a knee injury, especially in the NFL, will tell you that, hey, I made it back. I made it back in 8 months, right? Like, man, I was ready for week one, but I wasn't myself. Like, I was able to play. I don't want to put a percentage on it, whatever. I wasn't the guy you knew pre-injury until the next season. Now, I'm not going to say that's the case with Nick Chubb. He's superhuman. He, for all I know, he may actually be Batman. Like, if you told me he actually was Batman, I would believe you. But what he looks like and what his workload is when he gets back, that very much remains to be seen. And then they find their identity. But your identity in week two is not your identity in week 18. And I think that is what we need to remember. And it's what, you know, Stefanski told the team last week, that, you know, the teams that play best at the end of the year are not necessarily or almost never the teams that play their best at the beginning of the year.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. You'll hear him calling Browns play-by-play. Giants against the Browns coming up on Sunday at Huntington Bank Field. Tell me how a team goes 89 yards on 16 plays and eats up 9 minutes of the clock for an opening touchdown on their first drive and then doesn't get into the end zone again.
Well, I mean, they did go 12 plays on their second drive, so 28 plays on their first two drives, I thought was fantastic. And look, they...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They drove down to the 10-yard line of their second last drive before all those penalties, which I think everyone, if you're at home, you're probably punching your TV. If you look at the cam that we have in the booth, and we are in Jacksonville, obviously, you could probably see me making faces and Nathan making, like, all of us felt it. And Kevin Stefanski felt it. He said it on the podium immediately after the game. They survived. I do think it's encouraging that you had those two great drives in the first half, and then you had a great drive in the fourth quarter that obviously, you know, was killed by penalties at the end. And that's what you got to build on. And then the overall 13 for 100, not good enough. 13 for 100 every week is not going to win you many games. But it kind of, in many ways, it broke the Jaguars' spirit. I mean, they're looking at 0-4 right now, potentially. They go to Buffalo on a Monday night, then they have to go to Houston, and they're now badly searching for answers. All that matters is you're the team that got out of there and made enough plays with the win.
Andrew, how do we fix, or are we a little bit concerned about this Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson connection?
I don't know that it needs fixing. I have enough faith in Amari Cooper and his track record, and especially the guy that we saw last year, really the last 2 years, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, I think that track record speaks for itself. He's not going to drop an explosive every game. I think we can all, as reasonable humans, agree that that is not going to happen. The one this past week was, I think, a far makeable catch than the one last week. Or who knows? It doesn't matter. Maybe they're comparable. I think they'll be fine. I would spin it positively and say, hey, how about Jerry Jeudy's contribution last week?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I think that's a very good thing. So let's build on that. And same goes for Deontay Foreman. Stefanski kind of admitted that was on him. Hey, it's my fault he didn't get in there more week one. I mean, he only got one snap week one. If you look at Ford and Foreman together, I think they were 21 for 105, something like that. I don't care how you distribute the carries. You add those numbers up and say, that's my number one guy. Those are good numbers for a number one back.
Kareem Hunt goes back to Kansas City. Your reaction was what?
Good for Kareem. Right?
Yep.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll... I wonder, Andrew, if he'll be able to be a factor there. Certainly not like he was when he was there at the beginning of his career. That's a different story. I wonder if he'll be able to be as big of a contributor there as he was for the Browns when he came back last year after Nick's injury. 9 touchdowns, which was a career high, but only 3 yards a carry. That said, he did have an awful lot of short yardage carries that might have skewed that a little bit, but I wonder what the Chiefs are looking for out of him.
They're looking for anything. Isaiah Pacheco out 2 months is a big deal.
Yeah.
They have Carson Steele behind him, who's a fantastic-looking rookie. But he's a rookie. He's not a game breaker. I don't know that they need Kareem to be a game breaker. I don't think he is anymore. But I think it was comfortable, and it made sense, and it's worth kicking the tires. It's a practice squad signing. You know, look, Dalvin Cook, have we heard from him yet? He hasn't dressed yet for the Cowboys. And that was a practice squad signing as well. It's tough out there for a veteran running back. So, like I said, I'm happy for Kareem, and I hope it works for him.
All right, let's talk about the AFC North, which seems to be flipped upside down right now.
I think
most people would have expected that. I think the interesting part about this is the way the Steelers have been able to get to 2-0 without really having an offense.
They have one touchdown in 2 games. And we're sitting here debating whether or not Russell Wilson should take over a quarterback when he's healthy. I do think we'll see both quarterbacks this year. The idea that Justin Fields is going to start the remainder of the season is absurd. Russell will get on the field. And if it's a bad game this week against the Chargers, I think you could see him next week, because why not? You named him number one on the depth chart you push out every week in your packet. You still list Russell as number one. They're going to play them both. And I wouldn't be surprised, knowing Arthur Smith, if there are plenty of games where you see both of them on the field, where Justin Fields is your red zone short yardage guy. I mean, the Browns rolled in Jameis a couple of times last week, and if it wasn't just for the sneak, they stuck up on the Jaguars and handed it to Jerome Ford for 36 yards. So I think you're going to see both of those quarterbacks. That game for the Steelers against the Chargers and then the Ravens in Dallas, I mean, those are two fascinating games this week.
Andrew Siciliano is joining us. I want to go back to your Russell Wilson thought real quick. The Steelers, and Tomlin's been very careful with his words, because he has said he's unable to fully practice right now, and we'll see how it goes. Do you think he could even go back and just start Russell coming up this week if by Friday he's on the field as a full participant?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think so. It's his decision. He could. Mike Tomlin's thing is always, and it's one of my favorite phrases from him. Actually, it's not even on the top 10, but it's one he uses all the time. we'll let his participation be our guide. That's Tomlin speak for, if he practices, I'll let you know on Friday whether or not he's going to play.
Yeah.
Right. He's the only, have we talked about this? Like, he's the only coach that does a Tuesday presser. All the other coaches, Monday, day after, and then a Wednesday. Tomlin waits till Tuesday. When it comes to the 32 NFL head coaches, or just the 32 buildings and podiums in general, he has the floor on his own on Tuesdays. And so in the NFL Network newsroom for years, like 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, it's everyone's TVs on Mike Tomlin just because it's the only news. And we used to, like, not take bets. I'm not saying there's betting. We would discuss how long is his opening statement going to be, because it's usually between 8 and 12 minutes. Like, the good over-under is right around 9.5, right? And then he says, all right, I'll open it up to questions. And the soliloquies and the phrases he uses, I mean, sometimes it's top-notch comedy. Sometimes it is something to behold. So whether or not Mike Tomlin rolls out Russell Wilson on Sunday, I don't know. I think it's a Justin Fields game for one more week, and then next week it gets interesting. I think the real story to be told here, and I'm not saying that there's some big scandal, is how Russell Wilson got injured initially. Because he got injured on, like, the opening of training camp conditioning test.
Yeah, pushing a sled.
Pushing a sled, which was a new thing this year for the Steelers. They hadn't done that in years past. So if you're Russell Wilson, you're a veteran quarterback, and I'm not suggesting he has some grievance, don't read into this, but you get hurt, and calf injuries never go away. You get hurt as the veteran quarterback pushing a sled on your conditioning test.
Right.
On your first day on the job. Like, how annoyingly frustrating is that?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It was funny. I was thinking back to your original comment there about, you know, press conferences. There was a press conference once when Charlie Weiss was at Notre Dame, and they were about to play Ohio State. And I remember going into this thing, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It was neat to go to Notre Dame for a press conference. Charlie Weiss, I'm not kidding, got out, gave his opening statement, and talked for like 25 minutes about Ohio State. And the last thing he said was, I don't think I know very much about Ohio State. And I looked at the guy sitting next to me, who was from Columbus, and we started laughing because we thought he was joking, and the whole room looked at us like we were insane, because it was just dead serious at the end. And I was just like, it's interesting when you see those situations. I do want to bring up one other subject too, because Jeff and I were talking about it. The decision that Tua makes, is this going to be a decision when we go back and go, that's why Tua decided to come back, or the impact it could have on the league and the way they look at concussions with quarterbacks and high priced players, and, you know, oh, that reminds me of the. I mean, is this a pivotal decision moving forward with the NFL?
Maybe. I think that remains to be seen. I don't think and I'm not in any way trying to downplay the severity of the injury or how scary it was when we were all collectively watching. The entire league was watching. It was the only game on.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way trying to downplay the significance there. I think the league will go on, and I don't think it's going to change too many things. Listen, it's different if Tua says, I'm playing, and for some reason the Dolphins say no.
Okay.
I don't envision that possibly happening. Or if Tua announces he's retiring, and then there's some kind of subsequent fight over guarantees, and it's kind of like, I don't think it's going to turn into something bigger, but it is certainly a national story, and he's a beloved player with a national platform. It bears watching, but I don't know that it's going to turn into something bigger than that until it does.
It'll be interesting, because Jeff and I were just saying, we're wondering if this is going to be a turning point where we'll look at other players. So? Well, if we look at other players down the road and go, hey, that's why Tua retired. Remember that? Or remember when there was that?
We've already had those. Like Luke Kuechly walked away early. Andrew Luck walked away early. Yeah. Not concussion specific, but guys who said, hey, guys who still could play for you. Andrew Luck could have played. Andrew Luck should still be playing. He decided, I don't need this anymore. I'm taking too many hits. I got other interests in life.
Fair enough.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
we will
Andrew.
Listen you for
it.
You on Sunday.
Hey, how about Miles Straw?
He's back.
Just don't get picked off again. Don't get picked off.
Thanks, dude.
Goodbye.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up noon is the expected time for Kevin. You will hear him right here on 92.3 The Fan. Looking forward to that. So riddle me this one, my friend.
You can call me Batman.
Batman? Riddle me this Batman?
Yeah, riddle me this Batman.
I wasn't thinking Batman there. I was just thinking my friend.
Oh, I don't know. When you say riddle me,
Batman.
I think of the Riddler. By the way, did you see the Penguin
Frank
show?
Frank Gorshin, phenomenal.
I do need to watch the
that
Penguin show.
That looks good, man.
Colin Farrell dressed as the Penguin is unbelievable.
It
looking.
Is.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I've seen the promos. Really? I think I need to watch it. Though.
Jeff, you can't recognize him. It's nuts.
Huh.
And yeah. It's not like the cartoony. This is like...
No, it's like the mob boss coming up. Yeah.
Really?
I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to report back.
I kind of like the way these are going. All these. Yeah, okay, keep going.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have you ever... Have you ever moved in front of someone getting ready to hit a golf ball?
No, never.
Have you ever been in front of someone who is going to hit a golf ball and thought, I need to get the, you know what, out of here and back up?
That, yes, without a doubt.
I've done that. I've done that, too.
Done that. That and always making sure that you never put a tee in your mouth because you don't realize the pesticides you're about to swallow.
Well, no, that's really true, too, and people do that.
I did a golf show where a guy would just go, he would be like, he was the color analyst, and he would always say, now remember, don't put those tees in your mouth.
I saw a story, and I thought, really? And it was actually one of your favorite guys, your buddy Joe Buck.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, what was he? I think Joe Buck is an outstanding announcer. I'm still a little bitter about the World Series, but keep going.
You are?
I don't know.
I never would have
guessed. The fact that he has a bracelet that says WWKSD.
Well, he,
you know what that
he
says,
went,
right?
He went on
what would Kyle Schwarber do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went on Instagram and posted something about what happened when he and his wife, who is a sports broadcaster, Michelle Beisner, Buck, went on vacation to Cabo San Lucas, which is, you know, good for them. So they're playing golf together. Okay?
Okay.
And Joe is teeing off. 10th hole, actually.
Oh, good.
And Joe says, well, 10's a little left to right hole. And Michelle, his wife, has been known to do handstands, headstands, during the course of our courtship and marriage.
She was a cheerleader, too.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm. She's a dancer. She's a cheerleader. All
good.
That stuff, yeah.
She did a headstand at the end of the tee box for good luck.
While he was swinging?
And it was to his left. But she's at the end of the tee box, and Joe Buck's on the tee.
Okay. This doesn't sound like it's going to have a good ending.
So... she is in front of him. Okay? If you're teeing off and somebody's at the end of the tee box, where are they, Andy?
They are right in the target area, if you ask me.
Apparently, Joe thinks it's okay to hit.
Wow, man, that's
apparently,
a lot of trust.
Apparently, Michelle thinks Joe's going to hit a bomb.
Yeah.
Right when Joe tees off, she has her feet in the air.
Uh-oh.
And does a split. She dropped her right leg.
Was he trying to, make a field goal?
I don't know. Dan was telling me, hurry up.
Well, and also, I got a little bit of news.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
DeJuan Jones not practicing today.
Okay.
Ooh. Knee injury.
I'll finish this up quickly. She dropped her right leg, did a split. It went in front of Joe. More so than she already was. He hit the golf ball, hit her in the ankle, shattered her ankle. Shattered it.
I'm looking at the picture. It's not
she, good. She had to have all kinds of work done on it and now is having sciatic nerve trouble in the leg as well. Michelle, why in the world would you be in front of anybody when they're hitting a golf ball, let alone doing a headstand?
And keep that tee out of your mouth.
Lessons from Baskin and Phelps.
Words to live by.
Joe, sorry for inflicting pain on your wife there. That was terrible.
I'm sure he called Kyle and he made him feel better.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.